Gracious Lord, we come to give you honor and glory and praise because it is all unto you. Our glorious Redeemer, the one who's come to set us free. Come, bring the light of your grace upon us now. I pray that I would get out of the way, that there would be nothing that I would say that would hinder what you want to do in our hearts and lives this morning. I do pray that you would shake us, that you would lead us in greater depths in your truth, lives living surrendered to you. Jesus, we come, we want all of you, so come fill us with the fullness of your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we're wrapping up the second part of a three-part series this summer, so hang with us. We've got one more part to go after this Sunday. The title of the series that we've been looking at this summer is Transformed Hearts, Transformed Lives, The Life of a Disciple. What does it really look like for us as followers to Christ to walk with him and to allow him, as we do, that our lives would be transformed more and more into his image? And in this month of July, we've been looking at this whole idea of what it means to live in redeemed community with one another. Again, Jesus didn't bring us here. God didn't create us to be these isolated individual people. He created us to be and to live in community. And again, it's modeled, and we looked at this a number of weeks ago, it's modeled after the idea of the Trinity. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit living together in perfect community with one another. And then we see a picture of this too lived out in the life of Jesus as he walked with his disciples during his public ministry. He gathered these men around him, not to just teach them, yes, he did that, but to also live together and show them the importance of what it looks like, that we need one another because we cannot do life on our own. And so we're going to wrap that up this morning. And I want to share with you, I've been reading a book called Life Together by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Some of you might be familiar with his story, and maybe you've read this book, but the book was written at a time when the Nazi regime was, again, taking over Germany and going all throughout Europe. And at this time, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was the professor of a seminary. It was a very small seminary in Germany, and in fact, at this time, the church, the Christian church, had to go underground because of the Nazis. And so this was a very small seminary. He had about 25 students. And it's interesting because not only was he their professor, teaching them theology, he taught them what life was like lived together. He showed them not only what community was, they actually lived it out with one another. They lived together. They prayed together. They ate together. They read God's word together. They shared their lives. And you have to remember, all of this is taking place in the midst of a war. And for them, it mattered all the more. They realized they cannot do life, they couldn't do life on their own. And they needed one another in the midst of this time. And they realized, too, as Christians, if they were going to take their faith seriously, they had to do it with one another. There's no way they could have done it on their own. And so that's how they began to live their lives. And in 1937, a few years later, this seminary was closed by the Nazis, and all the students were imprisoned. And it was a year later that Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote the book, Life Together. And in it, he shared how to be Christians in community in the midst of a war. Well, that's what we're going to look at this morning. In the passages from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 3 and 10, this book was written to these first-generation Jewish Christians. And they were experiencing a tremendous amount of persecution, not only from the government, but from all kinds of other places. And so the enemy, you could see, was pressing in, and life was difficult for them. And the charge of the writer of Hebrews is to encourage them to hold on to the faith, to hang in there, because life is hard. But you can't do it by yourself. You've got to do it lived with one another. You know, that's exactly where we are today. No, we don't have an invading nation coming after us here, but we are at war. It's not against the other political party, whatever that might be for you. It's not against somebody who believes differently from you. We're not at war against them. It's a spiritual war. It's a spiritual battle, friends, that takes place every day in our hearts. And just like Dietrich Bonhoeffer and his band of 25 students gathered together and needed to learn how to do life together, just like the author of Hebrews is calling those first generation Christians to hang together in the midst of persecution, you and I too need to learn and to heed the call. We need one another. We cannot do life on our own in the midst of war. And that's what we're faced with, friends, every day. And again, it's a spiritual battle that we face in our hearts. It's a battle between doubt and faith. It's a battle between hope and despair. It's a battle between anxiety and peace. And there are many more that I didn't mention, but those are the kind of battles that you and I face. And these battles are brought on from the reality that we live in a fallen world. We live in a broken world. And so we're going to experience tough things. We're going to experience financial hardship that's going to cause us to doubt God's faithfulness. We're going to experience challenge in relationships. We're going to have stress at home, stress at work, all these things pressing in. Some of you are going to have kids that are going to rebel and go a totally different direction. That's life in a fallen world. And all of these things and all of these battles come, so do the questions, right? God, can I trust you? God, are you good? Are you going to provide? God, are you going to do what you've promised? And you see, friends, when these battles come, there is a very real enemy who is whispering into your ears and mine, so where's your God? Is he really that good? Where is he now? Why would he let this happen? You see, that's exactly what the enemy does. There is a very real war, a battle that we face every day. And what you and I need, and it's the call of these passages we're looking at from Hebrews this morning, what you and I need desperately is to be men and women who live in redemptive community with one another, not isolated people on our own, but people living in community. So two things we're going to see from these two passages. The first is this. We're going to see how important it is that we guard our hearts. And one of the ways that we guard our hearts is by allowing others to enter into our hearts, by sharing our lives with one another. The second thing we're going to see in the importance of community, that we need to be reminded of the truth. Because when challenges come, when the battles are fought in our mind and in our hearts right before us, we so easily forget. And so we need a community of people around us, friends, to remind us of the gospel truth. Let's take a look at the first one, the reality of that we need to guard our hearts. And one of the ways that we guard our hearts is having a community of people around us. Listen again to Hebrews 3, 12 to 14. So he writes, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil and unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end." He's saying, take care, brothers, lest we have an evil, unbelieving heart. Our hearts are prone to become hard, aren't they? Especially when tough times come. The context of this is what's written right before, and the author quotes from Psalm 95, and it's a reminder of when the Israelites had been led out of Egypt and they were in the wilderness, that in that very, very difficult time, they gave up. They grumbled, they complained, their hearts became hard because it was tough. Friends, some of you are experiencing tough stuff right now. And I know for some of you, your hearts are getting hard. And you're wanting to throw in the towel. So this message I want you to hear so clearly this morning. Take care. Take care. And so here's what he quotes from Psalm 95. He writes, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, on the day of testing in the wilderness where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They've not known my ways." Where are you in that place right now? Are you in that place right now? If you're not, life might be going really, really well, but be careful. Because it only takes one challenge to begin to grumble, to begin to question, God, are you really good? And he said in here, quoting from Psalm 95, their hearts always go astray. They've not known my ways. You see, the danger that they experienced, what they fell into, is that the Israelites failed to see God in the midst of that wandering. They failed to see God's provision. They failed to see his protection and his presence with them. And they gave up. We can rebel, can't we? We can complain loudly when life gets tough. I get this. And I gather so do you. When it gets really tough, friends, it's easy to complain. It's easy to doubt. It's easy to go to those places of despair. It's easy to ask, God, where are you? We may not say it that kindly, but that's what we're thinking. God, where are you? Why would you let this happen? So the author of Hebrews says, take heart. Take heart. Protect your heart. It's the theme of much of what we find in Scripture, and it's highlighted in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, where we read, above everything else, guard your heart, because from it flows the springs of life. Friends, I don't want you to leave here this morning without realizing the need that we all have to guard our hearts, because they're prone to go astray. They're prone to doubt and grumble against God. One of the ways that we guard our hearts is by letting others into our hearts. God did not put us here to live as Lone Ranger people, but he put us here that we would live in community with one another. That's why we say we're brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why during communion we say we share one bread, we are one body. Because in Christ, that's exactly what we are. And we've got to learn as his children to live more fully into this community. Because it can become discouraged. We can become discouraged when tough times come. So here's the question I want to ask you. Are you letting people into your heart? Are you letting them in? Are you sharing those fears that you have? Are you honest with someone else about the doubts, about your struggle to trust God? Are you honest? Do you go there? You see, when you're struggling to believe if what God really says is true, who are you processing that with? You see, the enemy wants us to process that right here by ourselves. And guess what happens when we do? We get so wrapped up in ourselves and in the doubt and the frustration that we stop going to God. We convince ourselves that he's really not there. That's why he says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. Where are you struggling to believe him right now? And are you willing to be honest with someone else? Friends, we've got to. We've got to put aside this Christianity that we live in of having our lives all together. What some of us call community is nothing more than a social club. We think we're sharing our lives together, but no one's getting access to our hearts. And friends, it may be okay for you right now, but the minute something happens, where are you going to go? What are you going to say? How are you going to process that with someone? I don't know if you've been at a place like that. I gather many of you have. I have. Even recently, the hammer dropped on something in my life, and all of a sudden, I began to question God, and you're going, okay, I'm scared. You're our minister. You're supposed to stay strong for us. But I got to tell you, friends, when the hammer drops, you got to be honest. And I question God, are you there? Why would you allow this to happen? Thank the Lord that I have friends that I shared my heart with who knew deeply what was going on. And they said, Robert, hang in there. We're praying. And they would quote scripture to me. And it was so amazing to hear. And I began to see God's word from a totally different perspective, because I began to realize that even when the hammer drops, even when the bottom falls out, and it will on your lives, God is there. He is faithful. And I praise God that he's brought a community around me to remind me of that. And I will guarantee you, friends, my faith is stronger now than it was back then. Take care, brothers. Lest you have an evil unbelieving heart. He writes, but exhort one another every day. We need, friends, that is a charge. We need to encourage one another every day. That means not just every now and then. That's not when just somebody shares something that's going on in their life and you say, I'll pray for you, but you don't have a conversation with them for months. No, it's encouraging one another right where they are with the truth of God's word daily. It means all the time. Think about how different it would have been for the Israelites had in the midst of their grumbling, and we're going to grumble, okay? But in the midst of their grumbling, they had friends that were unpacking where the grumbling was coming from. What are you doubting? What's really going on? And they were able to remind one another, hey, wait a minute, do you not remember what we just passed through, the Red Sea, and God led us out of slavery? Are we really going to question his goodness and faithfulness going forward? And hey, remember that cloud that's been with us every day? And at night, that fire that keeps burning? That's the presence of God in the wilderness. Wait, if he's there every day and every night, isn't he going to be there tomorrow? Well, yeah. When we're reminded of that in community, we're encouraging one another, we're exhorting one another, we're going to remember. And oh yeah, remember that manna that falls every day? I know it doesn't taste all that good, but God's faithful. He's faithful to provide. So that means he's going to be faithful to provide what you and I need tomorrow. That's the Israelites. How about you? If he really has redeemed you, if it's really true that he died on the cross, and it is, friends, I'll tell you it's true, then it shows how much he loves you. That whatever you're going through, however hard it is, whatever doubts you have, he's big enough to handle them. And he is going to lead you through. But you need your friends to remind you. We need our Christian community. We need to know one another so deeply. Are you willing to let them in? I know it's scary. Because you think, gosh, if they really knew me, can I really question? Look, y'all, when I was going through what I was going through, I asked myself, I go, can I really share that? Because here I am a minister, and I'm questioning these things. Can I really be honest? And I had to go, what the heck? I have to, because it's real. It's where I am. And then all of a sudden, you begin to see God speaking from people left and right, and the encouragement and the strength. Exhort one another daily as long as it's called today. That's what we need to be about, friends, as Christian community. Because on our own, isolated, we're not going to remember these truths. The enemy's voice becomes so loud. On our own, our hearts are going to become hard. So we've got to guard our hearts. Guard your heart. Let others into it to walk with you in the journey. So not only do we see that charge, but we also see the reality that we need community because we forget. We forget who we are. We forget what has happened to us. And that's what we find in Hebrews 10. Let me read those verses again. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, and I want you to hear these words. Let them land on you. Receive them as good news into your heart right now. Listen. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as some are in the habit of, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You see what he's done in the first few verses there? He's reminded his people who they are. We have been washed clean by the blood. We are free. Friends, that blood has sprinkled on you, and you are whiter than snow. But yet he says something interesting here in verse 23. He writes, "Let us hold fast to our confession, to our hope without wavering." You know what that tells me? That we're prone to waver. As good as that news is, as glorious as it is, as something that we've got to land on and camp on and live out of, we waver. We waver when hard times come. God, are you really good? And we can forget. It's easy to forget the gospel. But when we're living in community with one another, it's not so easy to forget. Because you've got friends who are speaking it into your life. You've got friends who know you and love you and know what to say and how to say it to remind you and me of what is true. And that's what the author of Hebrews is doing when he says, when he writes, let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. We need to stir one another up, reminding each other of the truth of the gospel. That's what we're called to be about. I love how Dietrich Bonhoeffer put it in his book, Life Together. He wrote this, "Therefore, the Christian needs another Christian who speaks God's word to him. He needs him again and again when he becomes uncertain and discouraged, for by himself he cannot help himself without belying the truth. He needs his brother as a bearer and proclaimer of the divine word of salvation. He needs his brother solely because of Jesus Christ. The Christ in his own heart, in those difficult times," he writes, "the Christ in his own heart is weaker than the Christ in the word of his brother. His own heart is uncertain, and his brother's is sure." And he writes, and this also clarifies the goal of all Christian community. They meet one another as bringers of the message of salvation. We meet one another as bearers of the message of salvation. You need to hear that message this morning. We all do, regardless of where we are or what we brought in this place. We all need to hear the message of salvation. We need to be a people who are bearers of this message to one another. If you weren't here on Thursday night, we had a healing and prayer service, and it was so tremendous. And one of the things I loved about that service, friends, is this, that as people came up broken and hurting and pain and discouraged, to be able to have them share that and to be able to proclaim God's word and God's truth over them was so glorious, to be a bearer of the gospel. Because I saw the tears and I saw the sadness begin to turn to joy. As hearts were lifted, as hearts were set free, as chains were broken. You know, chains are broken when we hear the gospel. They really are. And friends, you and I need to hear it every day. That's what we need to be doing in community with one another. Yes, it's great to go to movies and have a great time and have fun, but don't forget, we are bearers of the good news. Kimberly and I were with some friends this summer, and we were in Jackson Hole, and the place where we were staying had a magnificent view of the Teton Mountains. And at one point, I was looking out there just going, God, I'm just amazed at this creation. And as gorgeous as it was and as magnificent as those mountains were, they shout of the glory of God. And, you know, I couldn't help but think, as beautiful as all that was, as God's children, we are so much more magnificent. You see that? Because if we are made in his image, those mountains aren't, but we are made in his image. And so we are more magnificent and beautiful than anything we see in creation. If that's true, we forget it. We need to be reminded of that glorious gospel truth. Friends, that's what we need to be doing. We need to remind one another that you're forgiven. Your sins have been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. You are adopted a son, glorious in the Father's eyes, a king, a queen, radiant. So in the midst of war, in the midst of the spiritual battle that you and I face every day, let us come and be a people who seek to know one another deeply, open to share things in our hearts without fear, because we've been washed in the blood. And so there is no condemnation. And let us see how to stir one another up to love and good works by the glorious gospel proclaimed. And then let us go out into this community and be bearers of the greatest news ever, that people would be set free. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.